Well, good morning again, and happy Mother's Day. You know, I know on a day like this, there are many emotions that stir up within us. Man, if our moms are in heaven, we celebrate their memories, and we celebrate them. If our moms are still with us, then we celebrate them, and I hope that you get to do that well today. How many of you have ever seen the bumper sticker, "My kid is an honor student at blank school"? You ever seen those? How many of you ever seen the rebuttal to that? "My kid beat up your kid"? You seen those? You know, if there was a bumper sticker that said, "My mom is better than your mom," I would so want that bumper sticker. Now, some of you thought that I was going to say, "My mom beat up your mom," right? I would want that one too, probably. You know, I hope you're as proud of your mom as I am and was of my mom. I'm a little biased, but I think that my mom and my wife are two of the greatest moms ever. This morning, I want to invite you to look at a mom this morning, and we've looked at her one other time since I've been here as your pastor. But there's very little in Scripture that is mentioned of her. We don't know a lot about her, other than when you come to some of the begats in Scripture, you don't know this woman. Her name is Jochebed, and she was the mother of Moses. Her name is just mentioned twice in all of Scripture. Once in Numbers chapter 26, and the other time Exodus chapter 6. We know very little about this woman, but we know much about the children she bore. She would give birth to three children, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Moses, as you know, is one of the greatest men and most significant men to ever walk the face of this earth, right? He wrote the first five books of the Bible. He was a warrior. He was a songwriter. He was a natural-born leader. He was a deliverer. We know him to be a blessed man. He would speak to God. He would speak for God. And he would actually gaze upon God with his very own eyes. He was an amazing man. But as they say, behind every great man is a great woman, right? Moses would have that in his mother. She was a woman of faith. In fact, her and her husband are mentioned along with Moses in the great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Notice verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Our message point this morning is a godly mother trust God with what she can't control. And I know that's hard for some of our mamas, isn't it? If you are a mama, then you like to be in control, right? And in fact, it's part of your job description that you have to be in control. You have to be in control of the things in your home, the things within your world of influence, right? Let's look this morning at the story of the birth of Moses. And let's focus in this morning on his mom, Jochebed. In Exodus chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, we read, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it, placed it among the reeds by the river, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her young women walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Notice our first point this morning. A mother loves deeply. Why did Jochebed hide Moses? Well, to understand this, we really have to go back about 400 years. 400 years had gone by since the Israelites had found shelter in the land of Egypt during the time of the famine. Scripture tells us in Exodus chapter 1:8 that after 400 years, a new king arose. This king was a wicked king. He was a ruthless king. And notice what we read about this king in Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. "Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, 'When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live.'" Moses was born in a culture of death. Think about his mother, Jochebed. Think about the emotions that must have swept through her when she found out that she was pregnant with Moses. She probably experienced some happiness, as all mothers do. A life was growing inside of her. She was probably also fearful, knowing the decree and the ramifications if she was to bear another son. She probably had a plan A if it was a girl, and a plan B if it was a boy. In verse 2, we are told that after Moses was born, she gazed upon her son and saw him to be a fine child. Some of your translations say a godly child. Some of your translations say a beautiful child. Others might say a special child. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen stood before the religious leaders, he declared this about Moses. He said that Moses was beautiful in God's sight. Jochebed knew from day one that there was something special about her son. She knew he was destined for greatness, right? I think all parents believe that about their kids. At least I hope that you believe that about your kids and your grandkids. You know, we have been entrusted with gifts from God who have been set apart just as Moses was to be world changers. Know that the child that you hold or the child that you held in your arms has the potential to change this world. Jewish legend says this about Moses. It says Moses' birth was painless to his mother. That at his birth, his face was so beautiful that the room was filled with light equal to the sun and moon combined. That he walked and spoke when he was a day old, and that he refused to nurse, eating solid food from birth. You know, clearly that is not a true statement, right? A child does not just get up and walk and talk and eat on day one. No, a child is to be nurtured from day one by their loving mother and loving father. Unfortunately, that is not always the case, is it? Some of you had amazing mothers and that loved you and that loved you dearly and deeply. Others of you, though, did not have that kind of a mom. Your mom may have been anything but loving. Understand, you may not have had a protective, godly mom, but you can certainly be that kind of a mom or a grandmother. Jochebed would spend the next 3 months caring for her child and hiding him from the world. Notice what happens next. We know this, but a mother gives sacrificially. In verses 3 through 6 again, we read, "When she could hide him no longer, she took for him and made a basket of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her young woman walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman. And she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." You know, I cannot even begin to imagine what must have been going through Jochebed after Moses was born. I can't even begin to fathom that. For 3 months, she nursed him. She held him in her arms. She rocked him to sleep. She soothed him when he cried. She was his protector. Then the day came when she could no longer hide him from the world. So instead of allowing the world to swallow him up, she released him and trusted God to deliver him as only God can do. Some of you may know what it's like to give up a child. You may have given up a child to adoption. You may have been a child of adoption and know what it's like to be given up. You also know what it's like to be redeemed by adoptive parents. Jochebed took a basket and literally turned that basket into an ark, into a small watertight boat. And she placed Moses into it, and she stepped back and she trusted God. You know, there comes a moment in every parent's life when they have to step back and turn their children over to the Lord and trust Him. For most of us, that does not happen when our child is 3 months old, right? It happens much later in life. Jochebed had faith. She had courage. She trusted in the Lord. And in an act of obedience, she built a shelter for him and released him into the unknown. Like Jochebed, you and I must be men and women of faith. And as people of faith, we need to do as 2 Corinthians 5:7 instructs us. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. We walk trusting in God's plans for our lives and in the plans for our children's lives. In verse 5, we get a beautiful picture of God's grace and provisions, don't we? We're told that the daughter of Pharaoh had come to the water's edge to bathe. And while at the water's edge, she heard Moses crying. J. Vernon McVee said, "The Lord pinched little Moses and he let out a yelp." He let out a yelp at just the right time. Probably if a man had found Moses, he would not have demonstrated such compassion. But God brought down a woman to that water's edge, and not just any woman, but a princess. I love how God works. As all of this is unfolding, Miriam, Moses' sister, is watching it all unfold. And that leads us to our next point. Notice a mother's faith rewarded. In verse 7 through 9 again we read, "Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him." So Moses' sister watched all of these events unfold. Think about the courage of Miriam to have gone over to the princess and say, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Only God could have orchestrated this story. Miriam goes and tells her mother what had happened. And then Jochebed goes and receives back her son. She would get to nurse her son. She would not only get to nurse him and raise him in the eyes of the public, but she got paid to do it. Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. amen. God can and will do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine if we would turn to Him and yield our lives over to Him. You know, we don't know how long Moses would be in the care of his mother. Some scholars believe that it was for 3 or more years. What we can be certain of is that Moses took much from those formative years with his mother and father. He must have learned about Yahweh God. He must have learned about right from wrong. Surely he learned the biblical accounts of creation and the fall of man and flood. He learned about the fathers of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, these are our days of entrustment as parents and grandparents, aren't they? We have been trusted with our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren and the students and the children that we have influence over. God has given them to us so that we can raise them and equip them to become the men and women that God created them to be. So after a period of time, Jochebed would have to do what no mother wants to do. She had to give her son over for a second time. So notice our fourth point. A mother surrenders her children. In verse 10, when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. You know, this mama gave up her son, not once, but twice. And the second time was for the final time. We are told that he became the daughter of Pharaoh. He was not being dropped off for a play date with Pharaoh's son, was he? No, he was being dropped off, and he was joining the royal family. We are told that she named him Moses. The very name Moses means drawn out, referring to the fact that Moses was drawn out of the water. Isn't it interesting that it would be out of the water that Moses would be saved, and it would be through the parting of the waters that God would save his children. Moses would spend the next 30 or so years being raised in the house of the king. And then we know that he would spend the next 40 years of his life learning what it means to live in the wilderness whenever he fled Pharaoh's house. And then he would spend the final 40 years of his life fulfilling his destiny. You know, you and I have no idea who we are raising, do we? And some of us may be raising a preacher or an evangelist, a doctor, president, a missionary, a mother, a father, a blue-collar worker, a white-collar worker. Danny and I have had the privilege of raising a nurse and a teacher. We have no idea who our children will become, but what we do know is that they will become someone, right? So let us instill in them the ways of the Lord. Remember what it says in Proverbs 22:6? Train up a child in the way he would go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our last point this morning is a mother trusts the Lord. As a result of Jochebed and her husband, Amram's faith, the Lord would bless them. And as we've already looked at, he would include them in the great chapter of faith. Notice again what we read in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land by the Egyptians. When they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Now, their children would go and change the world. Moses was God's man, but God gave Moses a mom and a dad that loved him so much that they were willing to let him go in order for him to fulfill his destiny. That is what godly parents do, isn't it? That is what godly mothers do. And that is what many of you have already done or one day will do. A great acronym for a mother is this. A mother is amazing, generous, patient, thoughtful, selfless, and inspiring. And I can say this about the women in this room. That describes you. Author Max Lucado offers some intriguing insights into a mother's love for her children. In his book, A Gentle Thunder, he wrote these words, "Moms, why do you love your newborn child? I know it's a silly question, but indulge me. Why do you? For months, this baby has brought you pain. They made you break out in pimples and waddle like a duck. Because of them, you craved sardines and crackers and threw up in the morning. They punched you in the tummy. They occupied a space that wasn't theirs and ate food they didn't fix. You kept them warm. You kept them safe. You kept them fed. But did she say thank you? Are you kidding? She's no more out of the womb than she starts to cry. The room is too cold. The blanket is too rough. The nurse is too mean. And who does she want? Mom. Don't you ever get a break? I mean, who has been doing the work the last 9 months? Why can't Dad take over? But no, Dad won't do. The baby wants Mom. She didn't even tell you she was coming. She just came. And what a coming. She rendered you a barbarian. You screamed, you swore, you bit bullets and tore the sheets. And now look at you. Your back aches, your head pounds, your body is drenched in sweat, every muscle strained and stretched. You should be angry, but are you? Far from it. On your face is a longer than forever love. They've done nothing for you, yet you love them. They brought pain to your body and nausea to your morning. Yet you treasure them. Their face is wrinkled and their eyes are dim, yet all you can talk about are her good looks and bright future. She's going to wake you up every night for the next 6 weeks, but that doesn't matter. I can see it on your face. You're crazy about her. Why? Why does a mother love her newborn? Because the baby is hers. Even more, because the baby is her. Her blood, her flesh, her sinew and spine, her hope, her legacy. It bothers her not that the baby gives nothing. She knows a newborn is helpless, weak. She knows babies don't ask to come into this world. And God knows we didn't either. We are His idea. We are His face, His eyes, His hands, His touch. We are Him. Never underestimate the influence of a godly mother. You know, I know that some of you moms in this room raised your kids to follow after the Lord. You raised your kids to love and respect and honor you as a mother and to honor their father as the Word of God commands. I also know that some of your kids have gone astray. Some of your kids have cut off all contact with you. And for that, I'm sorry. I know I prayed with some of you as a result of this. But remember, as Matthew 11:28 tells us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Don't give up. As long as there's breath in your lungs, keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your young children, your adult children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Pray as only a parent can do. You know, you may be here this morning, and it may have been a little while since you prayed for your kids. It may have been a little while since you prayed for your grandkids. It may have been a while since you prayed for your mamas. And so as we enter into this time of invitation, you know, I don't know what the Lord is leading you to do this morning, but I do pray this for you. I pray, ladies, that you recognize that you're special. You're special to us and you're special to God. I pray that if you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that today will be the day of your salvation. Let's stand together and let's pray together. Father God, we come before you this morning. Father, again, just thank you, Father, for the privilege it is to gather together, Lord, to study your word together, to look at the great faith champions. Father, to look at this mama named Jochebed. Father, we know that she wasn't perfect, but what we do know is that she loved her children and that she loved you. And Father, I know I can say that about the mamas and the daddies in this room today as well. They love you. They love their children and their grandchildren. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just continue to give them opportunities to invest in their kids and grandkids. Father, we know that they are the future. Father, they're the future leaders in our churches. They're the future leaders in commerce. They're the future leaders in government. And Father, we pray, Lord, upon them. Father, thank you again for this morning. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.